Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, and Ray Grand Rising here this afternoon, November 12th, on the south side of Chicago. We are here this afternoon on the Female Solution, and this is Mama Joy on the Neighbor Shop of Joy. Oh, I tell you, we know that this is a day that has never been before, and when the sun goes down, it's going to not return. So how are you today? What's happening in your mind, your community, in your heart? I tell you, on the Neighborship of Joy, we remind you that we are one, made by one creator. We are neighbors, regardless of where we are on the very streets that we live, even across the ocean. We are neighbors. Either neighbors next door, or neighboring nations, neighboring communities, we are one. Same creator created us all, and that we are related. Yes, we are. We are all designed the same way. No matter where we go, if something occurs to us, our bodies, our whole design is the same. And, of course, we're family. And that's one of the things that the Neighborship of Joy, really the Female Solution, is all about, bringing us together to understanding that loving our neighbor is what we're here to do. So we're neighbors, we're related, we're family, and we're one. And lastly, we have been called to be mothers and fathers, walking the authority of the divine that has blessed us with and invested much in us to be able to overtake and over, you know, just be a conqueror in everything that we do if we have the right mindset. And why is it that we have not been able to do it successfully and increase the numbers is because we don't know who we are. And today we have our guest, co-host, Minister Rosemary Bookstein. And we're going to be discussing powerful conversations. Powerful conversations, and from the word, you know, we've heard life and death is in the power of the tongue. But we here on the Neighborship here, on the Female Solution, because we are accepting the female as the solution to many of these problems because we have been omitted and our words have been omitted. So today we'll discuss how we may be contributing to the things that's happening in our community with our tongue, with the kind of conversations we have. Yeah, we've heard about life and death is the power of the tongue, and we, you know, life is, we feed from wherever that fruit is. But we always keep it on the individual level and not understanding that if we're one, if we're related, and if we're family, that we are affecting our oneness. And the very thing that we desire is dividing us because of the language that we use and the things that we say and speak. We divide our family, our community, and in all. So today we're going to explore that thought, coming above our individuality, because we were sent here to do a job, and there are others here too. And I'm wondering, how well are we doing? You know, the scripture says that you'll know them by their fruits. So let's examine our fruits and determine exactly how we are bringing either benefits or bringing more bitterness. However you see either benefits or bitterness to our community. So I'm going to check on our illustrious CEO, Mr. Naima Latif. Are you here?
Yes, I am. And we are here live on Facebook. For those who want to join us visually, just go to Facebook and type in the Female Solution. And you are listening to the voice of Mama Joy, and this is Neighborship of Joy here on the Female Solution, our second Saturday of the Month program. So we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you'd like to share your thoughts so our host can open your mic and hear what you have to say. So
yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yep, press that 1, call in, press the 1, or type in whatever comments you have in the dialogue box on your Facebook page. Yeah, we are here to respond because that's something I rarely hear discussed, and that is how is it that we are contributing? Because no matter what we do, we march and we have all these horrific things happening around us, and we seem to be paralyzed, but we never stop speaking the same way. The conversation just remains the same, you know? So if we still talking about these things in the same old manner, that means that the community won't change. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our co-host, Minister Rosemary. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let me introduce you to Minister Rosemary Bookstein. I've got my applause. I got to get it together. And to Mr. Naima Latif, I'm excited. I really am excited, and this is like a maiden journey here today. And I'm beginning to learn that if we're going to make any changes, we have to be willing. Someone has to be willing to just step out in faith and do what has to be done, right? And
right.
Get the ship in shape.
Well, I want to welcome our co-host today, Minister Rosemary Brookstein. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So you want to share a little about ourselves? I'm going to let you know how I came to learned about Minister Rosemary, and it's because she has a phone ministry called Powerful Conversations, and every week, and I would be there and I would listen to the questions and listen to the responses of those individuals who are following her, and she said, well, you know, I wish I could reach a larger audience. And I said, yeah. I said, because these conversations, we need to bring out beyond ourselves and understand that more people need to hear this. And that's what the Female Solution is about. Every day you will find one of our sisters expounding on in their own unique way of how each one of us can make a difference. And so we're going to be dealing with that today. So thank you. So I'm not visual. I think this little Naeem is being the long silver today on Yard Street, but we're going to see if we can make a difference with that. Do you want to say a little something before you get started, Minister Rosemary?
I can get started, but I'd like to just say a little prayer before I get started. Is that okay?
Oh,
can you hear me? Okay, so
yeah.
Let us pray. I thank you, Father God, for this day, a day that has never been or will be again. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you, Father, for your presence that is always present, your spirit that is moving in and through each one of us. For we live, move, and have our being in you. And so it is. In the name and nature of Jesus the Christ, amen. So I want to say good afternoon, everyone. And a special thanks to you, Mama Joy, for allowing me the privilege and opportunity to speak on the Female Solution. So, well, let me just say this. The Female Solution is no different than the Male Solution. And you might be hearing stuff you never heard before, but this is how it came to me. And that is, as a male or female thinks in his heart, so is he or she. And it's that conversation between our ears that dictates what we believe, what we feel, talk about, and how we act or react. So let me give you an example. Our decisions are based on our beliefs, and our beliefs are not always accurate or true. We know that. And so many times we're making decisions from false beliefs. Then we act on these erroneous beliefs and wonder, why is this always happening to us? Well, let me tell you why. Our lives are a reflection of our beliefs, and our decisions are based on our beliefs. You see, beliefs are based on the ability to comprehend versus trust, in which is based on our covenant with the Father. So the question is, what are we believing? So let me give you a quick little quiz. And I don't want you don't have to write this down. I just want you to be aware of the emotions that arise in you when you hear these words. Okay? Politics, men, money, teenagers, your job, your neighborhood and your neighbors, Chicago. And what about yourself? And since our lives are a reflection of our beliefs, I just want you to take a look at your life, your relationships, your finances, your health, your spirituality. So let's go to the beginning, okay? But we're going to...
Prices jumped 8% from 20...
Hmm?
I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button on my iPad.
Okay,
go right ahead.
So our subject is the Female Solution, but it's coming from a powerful conversation aspect. So first, let me tell you a little bit about Powerful Conversation. Powerful Conversation is an inquiry into what it is you have within yourself to be, who you really, truly are. Powerful Conversation is a journey into your own life that allows you to become aware of your thoughts and actually taking the time to listen to yourself. In other words, think about what you're thinking about. Powerful Conversation provides unlimited possibility to enable you to take advantage of who you declare or decide or decree yourself to be who you say yourself to be, and understanding the power of your spoken words, which are your verbal thoughts. Conversation, your words are verbal, are just your verbal thoughts, okay? Now, powerful conversation is, okay, sorry about that. Okay, so powerful conversation awakens in us the tools or attributes that are already within us that will make, and those things that will make a huge difference in which, in what lies ahead in our lives. But now listen, the rewards you reap will be of your own effort. So let's start from the beginning. Really, the beginning. Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and earth, right? And in 1:3, God said, God spoke, let there be light, and he said, it is good and very good. And then in Genesis 1:6, God spoke again and said, let there be a firmament. And he said, it is good and very good. And in Genesis 1:9, he said, let the waters under the heaven gather together in one place. And he said, it is good and very good. Now, in Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and give them dominion over all the earth. 1:27, so God created man in his image. Now, let's stop here. What kind of image are we talking about? So God is spirit, right? So therefore, God is invisible. God is pure essence. God is self-existent, one with all power, all knowledge, and everywhere present. So man at this point is pure spirit, the essence of God. And God said, again, it is good and very good. Now, let's go to Genesis 2:7. You may have never read it this way or looked at it this way. God formed man, his body, of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. Now you've got spirit, soul, body. Man is threefold being, okay? And God gave Adam naming power. And so, therefore, Adam named all the stuff that God made, and God saw that it was good and very good. And God then said, all this time, God, everything God created, he said is good and very good. It is good and very good. And then God said, it is not good. Whoa. He said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet. And in Genesis 21, the Lord caused a sleep to fall upon Adam. You know the story. God took one of his ribs and fashioned female. And Adam awakened, took a look, and said, wow, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She said, Adam, shall be called woman. That's us, the female solution. So we, women, also have been given name and power. Therefore, I want you to know that life is in our language, male and female alike. Our life is in our language. When we declare, decree, or speak a thing, it will be established unto us, whether it is poverty or prosperity, sickness or health, whatever, okay? So being aware of this truth, we should always, not just sometimes, but always take time to make conscious, deliberate efforts to speak only those things we want in our life, world, and affairs. Now, why is this? Well, let me tell you why. Because our choice of language determines our quality of life. Therefore, speak to the circumstances. Speak to the situation. Speak to the mountain, not just about it. Why? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Because our words have power and dominion. We live, move, and have our being in Christ Jesus. So death and life in the power of the tongue. You see, this little member is similar to the rudder of a ship. Very small, but gives direction to our journey. God has already completed the world, the universe, and all that is in it, and declared it good and very good. So you see, the rest is up to us. This is a great responsibility and a great privilege. Now, If your life is not reflecting the good that God has spoken into reality, then you must ask yourself and listen to yourself, what am I saying? What am I decreeing or declaring about my life, world, and affairs? Now, please hear this. We are the variable. We cause our own thoughts, words, feelings, actions, and reactions, the circumstances that come into our lives. That's a great responsibility, okay? So just for a moment, know that our circumstances are neutral. All circumstances are neutral. It is your perception that makes them what they are to you. So let us recognize and become aware of the power of God that is ever flowing through our lives. See the good, feel God's peace, and know, take responsibility that your life is a reflection of your own thinking, your own words. So you must speak what you want in your life. Your words are vibrations. They're energy that go out into the universe and collect other words of its own kind, good, bad, or indifferent, and return them back to you. God spoke the universe into being. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament, and so forth and so on. We, too, can speak and should speak our world into being. What is it you desire? You see, God's word says, I will give you the desires of your heart. So don't be concerned of how or the cost. Your action is to speak the word with faith and expectation. So I want you to get excited with expectation. Give thanks in advance, like Jesus did. You know, Jesus lifted the bread to the heavens and said, thank you, Father. I know you hear me, for you hear me always. Remember, we were created in the image and likeness of our Father. That image is not in this physical, but it's in the spirit. You see, we are spiritual beings living in a spiritual world governed by spiritual laws. The invisible of us, the real of us, the power that is within us, the ability to shape and form first in our mind, because everything is first, everything is done first in our mind, by the use of our imagination, which is the scissors of the mind, covered by knowing, which is faith. So you see, regardless to the environment, we walk by faith, not by sight, and behold the absolute good, same as God said at during the time of creation. We draw according to our level of consciousness, our awareness, our faith in God. So when we speak, which is vibration, we release a powerful vibration that align with other vibrations of their own kind, okay? Now, I know I've said a lot. Give me a chance to say anything, but we're going to give it a try. So what does this have to do with female solution? Everything. You see, we're on a journey, male and female alike, becoming aware of our thoughts, taking time to listen to ourselves, understanding the power of our words, applying universal principles to our everyday, which we set in motion. There's a lot of power in you. Remember, in the beginning, when God created man, he created man from his image, and everything that is in God, all the attributes in God is in our spiritual man, okay? So pay attention to your habits. You know, those little things we do that we're not aware of, that it's like the little foxes spoil the vine, okay? So take time to listen. Listen to your thoughts. Remove that feeling concerning what we can and cannot do, okay? That feeling in our mind that's dictating to us what we can and cannot do. Know that we are perpetuating whatever is taking place in our life. So stop limiting ourselves by thinking who we are not. So sometimes, okay, I've said that wrong. So we think of who we are, but sometimes we need to think who we are not, that's preventing us from who we truly are. I hope you got that. Now the word solution dictates the act of solving a problem, answering a question, or fixing a situation, and coming to an explanation to something, the why and what can be done to remedy it. Listen, however a thing, a person, or a situation is perceived, that is how it is approached. So the question is, what do you see? So it all boils down to, as a female thinks in her heart, so is she. I want you to repeat after me. I am the essence of femininity, and so it is. Thank you for your time.
Fantastic. Well, what you have said brought a lot of thoughts to mind. One of them, when you mentioned in the beginning that we are made in the image of our Creator, mm-hmm. and that image is one of a creative being, one that has the power to create through speaking things into existence, as you have said. So when we create, we're first creating with our thought and then with our words. And as you've said, we're not aware that what we say actually brings things into existence. Mm-hmm. And so we unconsciously miscreate because we create the things we don't want, whether we're complaining about things because we're frustrated or we're feeling powerless because we believe other people have a power that we don't have, when in fact all beings have the same power of creation as extended to us by our Creator. So rather than us taking a lot of energy and time speaking things that we are angry about or accusing people of things that we disagree with, we should speak the things we desire to be as if they were and they will be. Mm-hmm. And this is the power of creation. This is the spiritual science that, as you said, we have not been taught. And so that's why we keep seeing the same things. As Mama Joy said earlier in the beginning of the show, we keep seeing these same things in our community that we don't want because we're believing we don't have the power to change them. We're believing that all we can do is complain and then hope someone else does something, when in fact the power to create is within us. So that is the greatest challenge we have, is to demonstrate that power of creation that we have been given by our Creator to manifest. And it begins with the word. What are we speaking into existence? And something that Mama Joy said earlier also, even the things we say that affect our relationships, and we're not aware that when we are critical and condemning, we're actually creating the very condition that we don't want. So how do we change the habit of saying the negative thing? How do we change the habit of believing ourselves powerless? How do we change the habit of responding with anger and frustration instead of the inspiration that comes when you're in a state of joy and appreciation for what our Creator has given us, which is the power to create? How do we change the habit?
So,
well, you know, one of the things that I just wanted to tag into that question that you had. Were you complete with that, Naima?
Yes. Well, you know, we got to take a break. So
I'll give you a moment to
ponder that for a moment, and we'll be right back. I'll run a few commercials, and then we'll be right back. And if you're listening online, we've got a couple of folks that are listening in our studio, press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so your number lights up and we can open your mic and get your thoughts. If you're watching us on Facebook Live or YouTube, feel free to write in your comments. We'll pull them up on screen and share them with our listening and viewing audience. In our community, are our conversations bringing benefits or bitterness. Think about it. What are we calling into existence with the power of the word? We'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are we back?
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I believe that was a common word that Minister Bookstein was speaking on. What we believe. And again, that belief that we have and how we use that energy, because our conversations have great energy. And when we have conversations and not aware of the power, we get back what we speak, and we don't recognize our manifestations that we are causing to take form and come back to us. And so I was wondering, you know, how do we, number one, because we have people who are aware of scriptures, Minister Bookstein, but how and what language can we give to those who are not scripturally based, and how can we encourage and motivate them or bring them into the awareness of this power that they have in themselves and the responsibility that they have to take ownership of it. You know, I think that is so important, because even me, myself, Mama Joy is daily learning the significance of taking ownership of that power and actually recognizing it. And too often, too many of us are not aware of that. Have you any response for that?
You know what I would say, and maybe both of you mm-hmm. all can your thoughts on that, but we grow up with the idea of powerlessness, and we've been too long rehearsing and reciting as people descending from those who had a very difficult experience, but all people around the world have had a difficult experience. We really aren't the only one. This is just a recent one, an experience of tremendous cruelty and an experience of people trying to make us be powerless by using great brutality and even having the government condone it. So we went through that experience, but we have to realize it's not a definition of who we are. It's an experience. That's all it was. Slavery was an experience. It taught us some things. It taught us that there is power in a unified thought, and that thought can be unified to accept oppression, or it can be unified to resist oppression. And whichever thought we had, that's what we experienced the outcome of. Ultimately, we had a unified thought that we were not going to continue that experience, and that's why it's over. We also learned some things. We learned that families, when families fight each other and will do whatever they desire to each other, even betrayal for the sake of greed, we learned that everybody loses in the long run, and that was a continent-wide learning experience where people were betraying each other, and as a result, the entire continent was decimated by a global system, which a lot of people participated in, not just one group, not just one ethnic group, not just one language group, but there were many different people who financially benefited from the trade and sale of human beings for free labor. So whoever's greed allowed them to participate, that's who got involved. So we learned that lesson. We learned that if you don't have ethics, then you will do anything to make money, even sell your own family members. So that's a reflection of who you are as a soul. And as our dear sister said, we are the souls inside the bodies. So whatever your soul does in this body, that's a reflection of what your ethics are. What are your values? What are you, the person, inside the body? And so we learned that. And then we also learned that you can overcome whatever others have created to force upon you by the power of your mind. If you remember who you really are, which is that divine being that you were created to be. no matter how much oppression you undergo, the real you, the God force that you are, will always triumph, because no one can destroy the power of God. That's who we are. And so that's why that experience, it lasts a few hundred years, but that's all it did. Just a few hundred years of an experience so that we could be reminded that we need to live according to higher principles, not of greed, not of fear, not of desire for power over others. We must live according to the higher principles and ethics of our Creator, which is love, which is sharing, generosity, compassion, forgiveness. When we live according to those principles, then we create the heaven that earth was meant to be. When we fail to do that, we create the hell that is of our own creation, and we can blame no one but ourselves. So this was an experience to teach us that. But we don't need to keep rehearsing it as if it's an identity. Oh, we were oppressed. We slaves. They treat us bad. We powerless. That's the bitterness that we keep expressing in our communities, and that's why our communities look like that. Torn up, broken down. Yeah. Decrepit, because yes. we keep speaking that into existence as if it's our permanent identity, and it isn't. It was simply an experience, and we learn from it, and we can grow from it, but we have to stop repeating it and reciting it and proclaiming it as if it's our permanent reality.
Wow, you said quite a bit on that. If anyone wants to press on the one, you know, let us to join the conversation, that we'll really appreciate that very much, because this is, I feel, of course, there's so many things, Naima, that are going amok in the community, but I feel that one of the least thoughts in most of our minds is that our words have nothing to do with it. And when we look at the scripture, it says, you know, it begins in the beginning was the Word.
Absolutely.
In the beginning was the Word. And so, and, you know, and the Word was with God. And then it says, and then the Word was God. So we have to be mindful of that presence that is within us, the power that is in us. And this is something that we cannot touch. But with our feelings and expressing these things, it is bringing about the very same, the very thing that we are struggling to overcome, and not realizing that it is in our mouth, and it is in our hearts, and it is in our feelings that these things are coming about. And you know what? Another thing it does, it paralyzes us.
Yes.
Because when we see it, then we say, look at this. Look what they're doing to us. Look what they're doing. And, yeah, but you don't understand. It's not what they are doing, but what are you and how are you contributing to it? Because you don't know who you are, and you don't know your power. So press one if you have any thoughts. Minister Bookstein, what are your thoughts on this?
Check your mute.
Okay, are you?
Yeah, check your mute on your phone.
I agree with some of the things that. What's your name? Naomi. Naima.
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 Okay. That we as a people are perpetuating what goes on in our community.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Powerful conversation. Some of these words we just have to drop. Some of these things we need to just stop talking about and start talking about what God has said about us. You see, in John 10:10, it says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is the is within us, right? The kingdom of God is within us. It is the realm of divine ideas.
Absolutely.
So we have to... It is up to us to stop saying these things, these negative things about ourselves, about our neighbors, about people. And one of the questions was, how do we develop a new habit? By first becoming aware of what it is that you're doing.
or what we're doing that's not conducive to good spiritual health, okay? So become aware of it. Now, you're not going to be able to get rid of all the habits one time, but when it shows up, you just replace it. It's a process. You just replace it, okay? Like, I have a habit of eating really fast. And so I have to be aware when I'm eating to slow down, to lay my fork down, to chew my food, and to be aware of it. So any little thing that, anything that's going on in your life that's not a good habit, just, you don't have to concentrate on this is not a good habit. Concentrate on making it better. When it shows up, make it better. Make it better.
Oh, God, I missed that thought. I tell you what, you know, you say a whole lot when you be talking. Look, I need a definition. Slow down on that definition of what your understanding is what the kingdom is.
The kingdom
you said
of God.
Something. Yeah.
The kingdom of God is within us. It is the realm of divine ideas. You see,
the realm of divine ideas. Now
yes.
That is another thought. That's another thought. Realm of divine ideas.
Yes.
Okay.
And I was trying to find the verse. I had you guys on mute, so I wouldn't be making all this noise over here. So I was trying to find the verse in John where it says, I couldn't find it, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So what is the soul? So as our soul is our intellect. It is our feelings. It is our feeling nature. It is our intellect. So as our soul prospers, we prosper. There is some work that we must do. You know, we just can't, like many of us think we can just pray and get back on the couch to remote control. Prayer, I hope I'm not slamming, I have a good, prayer is what we do. We talk to God to receive the power and the confidence in what it is that we must do. Like I said in my lesson, my talk, it's already done. God has already created everything. And on the seventh day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he had completed his work. And we are the variable. And the variable is just how we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We must learn to think like Jesus thinks, okay? We must learn how to say no when you should say no. Say yes when you should say yes. Recognize that the power of God is within us. Recognize that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and everything that God is, he put it within us. But, you know, there are so many distractions in the world. The world has so many distractions, the beauty of the world, all this stuff in the world. We get distracted, and we want more and more and more. Let me tell you, let me just share a little story. I was sitting on my balcony one morning, and it was very early, and the sun had just risen, and it was the beginning of spring. And I was reading this little pamphlet, which was really just a little pamphlet. It was nothing exciting, I didn't think. And as I was reading it, all of a sudden, this fire, this spirit, the Holy Spirit, just burst in my being. And at that moment, I mean, I stood up. I just jumped because I could not keep still. I jumped up. And at that moment, I could have had anything I wanted. But you know what? At that moment, I had everything I wanted. I had everything I desired. And it wasn't the world. That was a very strange feeling because afterwards, it was like revealed to me that I could have had whatever I wanted, but in the moment, I had it all. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's what the image of God that is within us does for us. We're not concerned about the world, we're only concerned about our relationship to God. Our relationship to God, because that's, how does it go? Our relationship to God.
How does that fit, Rosemary, with love your neighbor? Because I'm listening, and I'm attempting to move what your thoughts are to the community, because that is a concern that I have.
To love your neighbor.
That is. Oh yeah, loving your neighbor. How do we bring that to the reality that we are not a lone island, and connecting with our neighbors to expand what it is that you're saying. You know, that's one of the things I wanted to kind of get into for the next half of the show, as to what can we think of with these divine ideas, this realm of a kingdom, because there's a structure there. What ideas can we come up with that can help put in place things in our community where this awareness can be made? I know Naeem is going to rephrase that differently.
So God gave us these commandments, but then Jesus said another one. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when we do that, now, to love doesn't mean we have to hold hands with them or skip down the block with them. We must hold a good thought about them, and we must realize that God lives within them as well as within us. And when we speak to a person, I don't mean hi, but when we speak to them from our heart, from that godly place of us, they receive it from that place. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because, you know, we said something earlier, and you said, how do you feel when you hear? Because our beliefs affects our emotions. And how do we feel? How does the word, like, politics feel? How do when we hear the word men, a man, how do we feel about, you know, Chicago, and how do we feel about police? Okay. And yet when we get these feelings, how do we take these words that you say in our feelings and our emotions? And that's Willie, a candidate for Mayor Willie Wilson speaking.
Sorry,
there.
Sorry, accident here. We got 7 more minutes before the break. Sorry.
Right.
That little exercise that I did and said, just be mindful of what emotion comes up in you when I say these particular words. It's just to let you be aware of some of the things we need to change about ourselves. Okay, if I say teenagers, sometimes you get a bad feeling about them, and sometimes you might say whatever comes up for you. You want to deal with that. You want to correct that if it's not a good thing. Like, how do you feel about policemen? You know, sometimes people get a really bad feeling and they don't like whatever. Whatever feeling comes up, just become aware of it so you can fix it, so you can fix that thing. Because these are those little foxes that ruin the vine that we're not even aware of when folks say things. Like, say, snake. Okay, most folks have a really adverse feeling about that. But the thing is, just be aware of your feelings. Be aware of your feelings. And then again,
I think also, as we're aware of the things that we say, we have to be aware of why we're triggered to have a negative response. Say, like with the word policeman, if you are all day on your cell phone watching images of police unjustly arresting people or brutalizing people, you're going to be angry at that image. And yes,
right,
we understand that there are things happening, but there are also policemen who are risking their lives to save people, to pull people out of burning cars that have crashed on the highway, that are delivering babies, that people couldn't get to the hospital on time. I mean, it's policemen doing all these great heroic acts. And if we were watching that, we would have a different internal response to the word. So it's always our decision of what we're feeding ourselves that makes us have these fearful or angry responses. Same thing with the word teenager. Now, if all day long we're watching on our cell phones teenagers cussing each other out or calling each other lewd names or being disrespectful and threatening to adults, then we're going to be upset at the word teenager because we've made it mean something negative because of what we fed our own minds. So we're doing this to, they're not doing, we're doing this to ourselves. We're making things mean something negative. We're creating power of the word to mean a negative thing because we have fed ourselves negative images associated with it. Why are we doing that?
So that's why that little exercise was, what comes up for you when you hear certain words? When we hear certain words that causes an adverse reaction in our mind or body, then we need to fix that and understand that, you know, we have to fix that. It's already done. I mean, God has already given us everything that we need. Now we need to use what God has given us. Okay? We need to use it.
So I look at that like you know, if you eat something maybe poisonous or cause an allergic reaction, well, you gotta put something else inside your body to counteract that. You know, you got, like, if you eat something and it causes an allergic reaction, what do? You go get Benadryl, you know, something to remove the allergic reaction. So it's the same thing.
So
if we've been putting negative things in our mind, we got to go and put some positive in there. If you've been seeing all these negative things about teenagers, then you need to go and watch some videos of teenagers with great science projects, teenagers that are taking care of elderly. You need to change what you put in your mind to counteract the negative that you put in there. That's how we begin to change what's inside.
So what we do when we hear words that cause an adverse reaction, then we just change the thought. We don't have to do all this stuff. We're like, that's going to make it complicated. Just change it to love and not be judgmental about who these people are. We don't know why people do what they do. We're not their experience. You are only your experience. I am only my experience, okay? So when things for me that are not good, then I have to, then let me just know that I need to do something about that. I need to change that thought. Because it's only a thought away. It's just a thought. It's just a thought.
Now, there are people, and we got to take a break in a couple of minutes. There are people who have said, well, I need to keep myself safe, so I need to know what's going on. And this is why they justify, this is how they justify constantly feeding themselves negative thoughts, which makes it challenging for them to change that thought that they have to love, because what they've inundated themselves with is fear, believing that fear is going to keep them safe from harm. So they're believing that if their negative response to something is because they've given themselves the thought that this thing is harmful, they feel like they're keeping themselves safe. So how does one overcome the habit of that thought that they should remain in a state of fear as a means of safety?
Well, the word says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we really have to go by the word, you know? We have to go by what God says. God's word is true. There's only one truth, and that's God's word. Whether you are a Christian or not, God's word is God's word, and God's word will prevail, okay? So
we've got to take a break.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back. And, of course, you've been listening to the voice of Minister Rosemary Brookstein, and co-hosting today with Mama Joy, our second Saturday host on the Female Solution. This is Neighborship of Joy with Mama Joy. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts as we continue our discussion on our conversations bringing benefits or bitterness. How do we change the words that are creating the reality we're experiencing? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And when you call in, or if you want to join us live on Facebook, simply go to Facebook or YouTube and write in the Female Solution, and you can write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost. Businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie
Wilson. Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
And we're back. listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif,
That's right.
Our secondary host is Mama Joy, and this is Neighborship of Joy. And we've got with us...
And forgive me for being muted, and I was coming in, and when I heard you, I said, oh, my goodness, maybe they don't hear me. You know, it's been a while since I've been at the studio board. And I see now they have a little hand that comes up when someone presses it, the one. I didn't know that. I said, well, is that a tree or whatever? But that's the hand. So this hand's been up for a while, and I just want to apologize to 708-714. I will tune you in, and because I didn't know. So forgive me. Could you give us your name and where you're calling from?
This is Reverend Fannie Smith, Chicago.
All right.
Hello, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Fanny.
Hi there. You all are doing a fantastic job. So much energy, so much wisdom and knowledge all in one place. I'm telling you, you all are really killing it. Miss Rosemary, as usual, and your guests, too, you guys are just so eloquent and precise. I just... if it's okay, have a comment, or you want me to wait till, I don't know, you tell me what to do.
Oh, yeah, that is. Oh, and Brother Fannie Smith is a minister over at Rainbow Push with the Thousand Churches. Am I saying that right? Thousand Churches and Rainbow Push.
Right.
You know, we,
right. Rainbow, yeah. Reverend Jackson created the 1,000 Churches Connected, and I'm honored to be a part of that. As well as ACLC Women in Ministry Chicago. All right.
Yes. So what comments do you make? We're discussing now the power of our tongue and how in our community are we aware that our conversations can bring either benefits or bitterness. And what the struggle that we're having now, do we realize that it is the result of our not being aware of our power and we're speaking things into being? And those are the very things that we're trying to rid ourselves of.
Well, I really want to, it sort of goes into play. It leads right into what we're attempting to do and will do on next Saturday. Reverend Mama Joy has had this dream for years now, a few years, of bringing the community together in a ministerial way for women of God, women of our community, and basically we don't need to be downtown, we don't need to be in some big hotel, we need to be on the streets and in the community of Chicago and our surrounding states that need us. One of the ladies just mentioned that going into the neighborhood, I live in the Burbs, Berwyn, right outside of Oak Park. I have family live in Chicago, but sometimes I don't get there as often as I want. So in order to look at the church and just visit other churches and do things, I have the privilege, if you will, of going down 79th Street. Those of you who know live in Chicago, 79th Street, 87th Street, 76th Street, some of the neighborhoods are just torn down and they're not beautiful anymore as they used to be. And our sisters and brothers are walking the streets with bags and grocery carts with everything they own practically in it. And this has been something we cannot just look. And I'm reading now where we said we've heard the power of life, and we know the death of the tongue. But we have to contribute to our community to let them know that we're very conscious of that. There was an older lady, not real old, a lady pushing a cart, and she was standing in front of there's a Polish, Maxwell's Polish restaurant. A little shack right there on 79th and Stony Island, many of you probably. And I love those Polish sausages. And the lady was standing outside, and she had that look in her eye, would you help me, please, without asking for a word, not asking for a penny. And I looked at her, and I just sneaked her a few dollars in her hand like I was just passing by. Can you imagine? Can we imagine? We're talking about the slavery, the slaves and what they endure, women and female. The lady, the sister just mentioned having families torn apart. But I can feel her feel her embarrassment. I can feel this is another woman who has a body and the soul that I have, but yet look where she is. And all up and down the way. So whenever someone was mentioning our young people, when they're fighting and shooting, can you imagine what that mother on the other end, her son or daughter coming in all time and night? You dare not ask, where have you been? Like, unlike us, we had to be in when the lights went out. So I'm just reinforcing what we're trying to do on the next Saturday, and this is a dream that we have. I don't see enough of us sisters or Christian women, provincial women, on those corners with those mothers, on those corners bringing some a box of cornmeal or flour or whatever we have. It doesn't have to be a lot. But we need to know that we're conscious of that. And back to the slavery, yes, we do need to teach it in school, let our young people know. But as the sister said, we have to outlive that experience. I love the word you used. That was an experience. It taught us. It taught us what it could be if we didn't fight against it. It taught us what it could be, what we could lower our hearts and minds and our lives to if we don't fight, stand up over our rights. So experience, I will use that word, it's an experience. It's not our lifestyle. It doesn't last forever. And we have God on our side who can change, which he did, and that's what we're about, community and helping our community on the level that we can do today. And thank you so much, ladies, for opening up this program and this ink that's controversial and that we can control if we have it in our minds and hearts. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Reverend Fanny. Thank you so very much, Reverend Fanny Smith. And she said it's not our identity, but our experience. And that's it. This is not our identity, but our experience. And this is what we can speak on. And when we speak on it, we could change our tone and show and speak with love and respect because it was sacred. Look at what we have now. I was thinking yesterday, you know, I said, wow, my dad never had a car. I don't know if my dad even drove. My grandmother and grandfather noted it, but my great-grandpa on my mom's side had a car. He was amazing. But again, that was a total different mindset. But we have to tell our history because it's part of the testimony. And let it be known that when you are in the will of God, that everything works for you, and that we can speak on this experience and say they paid the price for us to be right where we are now, and we cannot forget them, and we have to learn how to forgive and move forward with a new mindset. And
I just wanted to also acknowledge one of our Facebook viewers, Ernest Abdullah. Said he's here, just coming in. You know, Ernest, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ernest. Yes, I agree with our caller. Definitely, you know, we can do some great things. I'd like to briefly share with you all, you know, some of the things that people are doing that are very powerful and should bring us a level of encouragement, knowing that there are people who are using the power of their words to create something magnificent, and we can all do the same. This is a program that is engaging the community, an urban gardening program, and is right on the south side of Chicago. And I think that when we know that young people are doing these kinds of things and they are making a major difference, then we can see them differently and maybe even have a different perspective about what the word teenager means. And I'm sharing this right now on our Facebook page, but I'll also share this so that those who are joining us by phone can hear how this magnificent program is actually making a difference. It says we currently operate 8 farms over 11 acres of land. These farms are production-oriented but also offer opportunities for staff-led education, training, leadership, development, and food distribution. Each farm utilizes organic growing methods, intensive growing practices, and year-round production strategies to best minimize growing space. We grow a variety of crops so that our farm stands, collective supported agriculture shares, and the Fresh Moves mobile market are all stocked with a beautiful selection of fresh produce. In addition to fruits and vegetables, we grow culinary and medicinal herbs, edible flowers, and a wide array of ornamental plants for neighborhood beautification. We also raise goats, chickens, and honeybees. And this is the organization that is creating some really magnificent works, and it says cultivating pathways to freedom through food and healing. It's rooted in growing food, and says we cultivate nourishing environments which promote health, economic development, healing, and creativity through urban agriculture. Mm-hmm. And this is the Urban Growers Collective. It is a black and women-led nonprofit farm in Chicago, Illinois, working to build a more and just equitable local food system. It says we aim to address the inequities and structural racism that exist in the food system and in communities of color. Rooted in growing food, our mission is to cultivate nourishing environments which support health, economic development, healing, and creativity through urban agriculture. So we've pulled this up on screen for those to take a look at and understand that there are very successful projects happening that are initiated by women's groups such as the group that you all are speaking of right now and gathering together with, I believe the term used earlier was the once we are able to get into the divine mind, then we have divine ideas, and we have ideas that make a change. So this is a fantastic idea for those who are watching. You can see the trucks that are moving food, beautiful pictures of our children and food on the truck. They do emergency food relief. So this is a successful mission happening right in the city on the south side, women organizing and creating what actually is helping, because we know one of the major issues that we have, like Sister was talking about earlier, someone standing there hungry, needing some money just for a meal. And we have people that are doing this. You, of course, can go to urbangrowerscollective.org, and that's just one of the successful things being done when women organize their minds and decide to create, use our power of creation. So we're just showing a few of the visual images right here on screen. And for those who want to get involved, they can go to urbangrowerscollective.org. Now, several of the things they say, of course, they're teaching how to identify wild and cultivated plants in all stages of growth, tending plants for healthy propagation and appropriate maintenance, and harvesting plants for use, understanding best practices in harvesting wild and cultivating plants, and making herbal preparations, meaning we have the ability to heal ourselves with what's coming right out of the ground. So these are people that are doing what we're talking about, making a difference with our ideas. And we want to encourage
more. And not just mention the fact that doing that provides an opportunity for positive conversations. That is a place of rich conversation. And that is... That is something that, how do we provide opportunities and places for conversation? You know, that is remarkable, because when you are there working, you're in the earth, You're talking about health. You're talking about emotions. You're talking about change. You're talking about life. You're talking about growth. You're also learning how to be patient, because you don't plant a seed today and go pick apples or pick your collard greens the next day. It is an opportunity for you to really embrace the naturalness of what life is, because we're in a situation that if we do not change and make some kind of stand in providing opportunities such as this, opportunities of a Black club, opportunities where you can bring neighbors together and to have a watch. We have neighbors here where I am. They've created gardens and tore up their whole front lawn, Naima, because they felt a need to make, you know, be responsible for their own food. And we have that going on in our community. And this is something that I feel, now, like Rose was saying, no, we don't have to hold hands, but we can provide a place where conversations can go on and decisions for action to take place so that we can increase what it is that we're doing. It's about increasing the conversation, increasing more positive interactions. This is what it's all about. And getting to the point where we can even discuss our ancestry without getting angry. Because then we'll be able to respect what it is that they did do. You know, what they did endure. And one of the things that they did, they protected their spirituality, because we know in the songs they sang, Steal Away to Jesus, that regardless of what they were experiencing, they never lost the identity of who they were in God, because they stole away and they found a private place so that they could pray together. And according to the master, they were breaking the law, breaking the rule, but they did not lose sight of their identity and their relationship with God. And that is something that, ooh, I just came into that, and I'm happy to hear that. But this is it. We can provide opportunities for us to get together and have discussions so that we can grow more trusting in each other and in a higher understanding of what that love thy neighbor is, because we've learned more how to love ourselves. That's crucial.
Absolutely. You know, we, as you said, we should be able to discuss what happened without anger, because the people who were involved in that, all of them are gone. There is no one that's alive today that was owning slaves back in the 1800s. So why are we still angry at people because they have they're wearing a certain skin color? Because that's all this body is. It's just a suit. It's like our sister said earlier, the breath of life was breathed into this body, but we are not this body. We are the breath of life that was breathed into it. So why are we still angry at people who are wearing a different color suit than we are, as if they are responsible for what happened? None of us alive today were involved in that experience. So there's no reason for us to be angry at anybody. All of us can look at it objectively and say, what did we as a human family learn about ourselves and others that we can improve on? And we can have that conversation without blame and anger and guilt and shame. We can do that.
And that's the driving force for a positive, powerful conversation, is when you can change the bitter. And I said, make some lemonade. Change that bitterness and understand that that is part of the process of growing. And that's the test for us to really dig into the depths of who we are, so that we can be the individuals that God promotes us, provides for us, our desire for us to be conquerors over any situation, conquerors of our emotions, conquerors of our mindset. When we can speak on these things in a loving way, and take ownership of the divine sacredness of that experience, and find how these individuals did what they did by keeping their relationship and their identity, taking ownership of this. I know that I am a child of God, and I have a
matter
life that I'm accountable to. And that is it. So thank you for that. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
This is Rosemary, Reverend Rosemary talking now. Matter of fact, we should not be ashamed of our ancestors who were enslaved, but we should look at them with adoration for their tenacity and courage for what they did with nothing, and realize the power that was in the language that they created within themselves to show each other how to get out of slavery. So that is nothing to be ashamed of, but to we should be in agreement with how powerful our ancestors were. But unfortunately, we are in agreement with a lot of adversity. So let's be in agreement with the good stuff and look at it as a very good thing, the power of God that was moving through these people. I mean, they were sighted right away because of the color of their skin and the way our people look. So right away, people could see if you were trying to leave the plantation or whatever, you know. So it was all, you know, a divine master plan. And now that, and just, since the 60s or something, when we were actually kind of free, you know, and with Martin Luther King and civil rights, and look where we have come from the 60s. We have actually held the highest office in the United States. That shows how great we are. So let us feel our greatness. Change the conversation. We need to drop words like, in my mind, like struggle. It's no longer struggle. We need to drop those words, okay? And speak what we want. Speak only what we want in our lives. That's what the Word of God says. Speak what you want. Life and death in the power of the tongue. So speak life into any situation, any dead situation. Let's speak life into it, and more than speak, but move into it. You know, action, like you were saying earlier. Put some action into it. What are we going to do? How can we get the people who are, don't really know how to move? But let me just throw out another verse, Hosea 4:6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. So there are a lot of things that we need to be reminded of, okay? Because our primary cause of suffering is forgetfulness, that we have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten that the Christ, the Spirit of God, lives within us. We've forgotten that, and that we are spiritual beings with a divine nature, as Son of God. Okay, we've forgotten that we have dominion over our thoughts and feelings, and we need to stop thinking things that aren't beneficial to us, neighbors, to our people. Just change our thoughts. It's kind of hard to change things that you don't even know that is happening. So we need to change our vocabulary, okay, from downtrodden to... It's good. It's all good.
You know what you're saying. You're saying things, Rosemary, and I'm listening to it because you're saying not struggle. And so the thing came to me because now you said that, and I never heard anyone say about the positive conversations that our ancestors had. See, these. That's why even this conversation that we're having this morning is beneficial, because we need something to connect to which preceded us. Our culture has to be, be looked at in a different way, where we can have that pride, have that power, attachment, or connection. The connection to the best of the good that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I never thought that in terms of them having powerful conversations because they were not allowed to assemble. But because of the power of God in them, they were able to create a place where in their minds, look, they couldn't conversation, but what they did, they sang songs. They sang songs.
Yeah.
Come on here. These are the problems. If they couldn't converse, they couldn't assemble, what they did, they still came together in a powerful way through song.
And
see, this
facial expression.
Naima, this is awesome. This is awesome, Naima. Because we have got, if we can't connect to our ancestries in a powerful way, then we are not going to survive as a people. I know it's time for us to have another commercial, but this I had to say. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
We're on a verge. We have to survive, and if we cannot honor where we come from, we are going to go no place.
Well, like you just said, sometimes the message can come through a song, and a song can travel around the world. Just think of some of the most powerful songs that have inspired people and transformed the society. So we are doing what our ancestors did, using that power that we've been given by our Creator to create.
Come on now.
We'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
I believe we're now in the last quarter of our showtime here on the Neighborship of Joy. Hey, oh my God, with Mama Joy and Minister Rosemary Bookstein and our awesome CEO, Miss Naima Latif. I tell you, this has been really great. I am excited about this conversation today because I am picking up some new words, some new understandings. And if you are here, I'm asking that you press 1 if you want to be a part of this conversation here. And we're exploring the thought of, in our community, are our conversations bringing benefits or bitterness? And now that we have had a chance to really hear with a bit more clarity of the message that Minister Rosemary brought to us earlier. Now, for the first time, I could see that I'm coming from a community. Our ancestors lived in community, you know?
Yes.
And in these communities, there were conversations going on. And there were conversations that were focused on liberty.
Yes.
And hey, justice and freedom. Okay, these
right.
are the same things that even under the most cruelest situations that we can only imagine and really cannot really feel what they felt or these emotions, we realized that they were focused. Listen to what our conversations for joy have been yielded, Naima and Rosemary. It has yielded me an understanding that there has been a stream of powerful conversation since 1863, because that focus of liberty and justice and freedom came through the Emancipation Proclamation. Huh?
Well,
and there had to be conversation even in developing that. We were surrounded by a lot of powerful, positive conversations, but I never thought about it in the sense that I'm getting it today. Positive conversations like "I'd be well." Positive conversations when lynching was going wild, but she stood strong because she stood in the midst of a positive solution. She stood in the midst of a positive female solution. You see where you're coming from? Come on, come on.
Yes, you know the thing that changes things is when you decide how you're going to discuss what's happening. Like Minister Rosemary is saying, certain words we don't really need to keep saying anymore. Life is not a struggle. It's an opportunity. We have an opportunity to create. We have an opportunity to enjoy the benefits that we have gained as a result of our collective work and achievement. We have an opportunity to expand in our creativity, and we have an opportunity to allow our children to express their intelligence. So there's no struggle in doing that. There's no struggle at all.
No.
It's a matter of giving what God has already given us. We already have, like she said, we already have everything we need. We have the energy. We have the intelligence. We have everything we need. So now all we have to do is take advantage of the opportunity. I want to share something with you, a couple of other triumphant things that have been done, and people realizing, as you say, you know, knowledge is power when you apply it, and certainly we have a chance. Well, let me stop this for a moment. We have a chance to create educational institutions that can inspire, because we have the ability in our own minds to do so. We have the ability to create And when we decide that we're going to do these things, then we manifest. So there are schools that have come about as a result of our decision to create them. And we have made some decisions that resulted in some very powerful educational institutions. Let me see if I can bring one up on screen here and give us a chance to see how some of those who have been inspired, there's Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women, and we can do so much. Let me unmute it. We can do so much when we just decide to develop the things that we have the power to develop. So here's just a quick celebration from this Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women. Understanding what's important is what they say.
This school is so special, not just a number in a system. We're cared about, we're loved.
Empowering women means that you're actually empowering entire communities. We are unlike any other schools in this city. Without M&T Bank, this school would not be possible. They, too, believe that there is a story that we have to tell and that we are partners with making Baltimore better for our future.
I feel very empowered. This school changed my life.
And that is just one of the many schools that are another one, Fair Trade Women's Leadership School.
When women are given opportunities to lead, we see great things happen. With more voices heard, we get better results. That's what the new Fair Trade Women's School of Leadership in Timor-Leste is all about.
When you hear women's voices, the whole community benefits. Timor-Leste needs more female representations, and I want to be part of it.
It will improve individuals, it will strengthen families, and also their communities.
The Women's School of Leadership is a life-changing program, empowering women coffee farmers and their communities. It's time for a fairer story for women.
I want to be an entrepreneur.
I want to be a doctor.
I want to become a nurse.
Chaplain, female leader like me.
The Fair Trade Women's School of Leadership is here.
Wow. So just a couple of the actions that are going on when we decide we're going to do something and we just do it. So what we speak into existence is powerful. When we speak into existence that we are going to create a school, we're going to create a farm, we're going to create a business, we are creating farms, we are creating schools, we are creating business, we are doing this, we are doing it now, it exists. Like our sister said, it already is done. God has already created all that we need. We must speak it as though it were, because it is. And when we speak it as if it is, it will become. So the power is in our word, and whatever we sing in our communities, we spoke that into existence. We spoke broken homes.
Exactly.
You know,
we have
there is nothing more.
We can change it. We can turn it around and speak life into what seems to be dying. We can speak life into our communities, and we can create life with our words. And there are those who are doing it right now.
There is
Absolutely. Nothing
more powerful. There is nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. And when a person makes up his mind, it is the decision is what causes creation. You make up your mind to do something, it's like it's already done. Now it's just a matter of the process. And the person who makes his mind to do something, they already feel it. They already know it. It's just the means of going into that direction. I hope I made sense when I said that. Okay.
Yeah. Right. But you take some action, but just like the name of, she took action, and that's what Christ says in the Word. Seek and ye shall find. Huh?
Yes.
Knock on the door, it'll be answered. And ask and you receive. And that is what is necessary. Take action.
Take action knowing that whatever it is that you're seeking is already in motion. And just connect with that movement. Connect with that those vibrations of positive conversations. And I just want to go back down this line. The women's voters' right came out of our ancestors. That movement was done in initially, you know, for women's rights, but also for the freedom of the those who were enslaved. And again, these are positive conversations that were done. I'm looking at us being on a river stream. If you could just see the stream of life moving for us, moving towards us, benefiting us. But if we keep talking somewhere else, we're moving out of the stream that God has provided for us, and therefore we won't get any benefit. But the bitterness still is there, and it's a choice that we make. So, okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Good Lord.
So this is what I would suggest for all of us and for all who are listening and watching. Be the change you want to see. Infuse into every conversation a new direction. When you hear it going negative and people start saying things, come back with a positive. Be that antidote to the poison. Say the positive things. Don't argue with the people. Simply refocus everybody's direction as they talk about, oh, there's another shooting that happened down on the corner. Oh, I just heard about this young man who got a full ride scholarship to Harvard University, and he is just an amazing person. I'm just so proud of our young people. You got to change the conversation. When they talk about all
change
these,
the conversation.
They hear got more boarded.
But you can acknowledge.
We got a farming program. We got more land.
We can acknowledge the urban farm.
Change the conversation. Change the energy.
Change the conversation. Yeah. Acknowledge that and say, okay, great. We're sorry to hear that. We're going to have prayers there. But let's keep our eyes on the prize. Our eyes focused because we are in a battle. We are in a survival situation. But keep our eyes on the kingdom of what it is that we are here to do and move forward with providing those opportunities to create a better life, a better community, in spite of what it is, because we're not here in spite of what we're here, because God has invested in us all that we need to bring about a better life on this planet and in our community.
Yes. Right. We gotta tell the story of victory. We have to, you know, I remember my father telling me something. He was a World War II veteran, and he was talking about how during the war, they were losing really, really badly, really badly for a while. But the news media would not tell the American people, because then the spirit of the people would be broken. Because, you know, you had to have all these, you know, the whole country was geared up for this war effort. And, okay, we've got people that are working in the factories while the men are away at war. We got, you know, people who are farmers doing extra work because the men are away at war. So the idea had to be, we're winning. And during those times when they were not winning, there was heavy casualties, they didn't talk about that because it would have broken the people's spirit. So they always spoke in terms of winning. And then, of course, as we saw, eventually there was a win.
Yeah.
And the war was over. I mean, there's a whole lot that happened, but the lesson learned from that was, if you're going through a difficult time, if you keep focusing on how difficult it is, you will never change the struggle. So do not speak of struggle. I agree with Minister Rosemary. Do not speak of struggle. Speak of victory. Speak of overcoming. Speak of triumph. Because you must speak that into existence. Whatever you're speaking, that is what you manifest. So we cannot keep harping over and over and over again, reciting every killing, every murder, every carjacking over and over and over and over again, and expect it to change. We're adding to that energy and recreating it every single time we speak of it. I'm not saying ignore it like it's not happening. I'm saying give us the antidote, counteract it with a victory. Constantly speak into existence those great things that are because they are, and we can create more of them. And
so
we have to change the conversations when people are stuck on that struggle mode and can't get out of it, can't get out of that negativity. We got to pull
the
conversation.
Yes.
We're not ignoring it, but we're not going to give power to it.
Right.
By repeating
it.
Yes.
We can always say, like if I stump my toe or something goes wrong, I will say, it is well. The Bible says that. Say, it is well. It is well.
I love that.
It is well.
I love that. Oh, wow. I just had a couple of people that came on. This is wonderful.
Change our conversation.
Yes. Absolutely.
Be cognizant of what we're thinking, because what we're thinking, what we're saying are verbalized thoughts. So let's be cognizant of our thinking. Think about what you're thinking about. Don't just let that chatter go through your head. Okay? Think about what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I know the thing.
Sometimes, what about if we just assume the same feelings we would have if our requests were fulfilled? What if we just assume that it's already happened? That changes the chemistry of our body. Creates endorphins, make us feel good, okay?
Yes.
You're not lying to yourself. You're just saying what God has already said about you. We are assuming that what we are requesting is already done, okay? So we just, I say, joyously accept and give thanks, believing that the miracle-working power of God has responded to our every need. Therefore,
what you're speaking is the science of creation. Create the vibration within yourself of what you want to occur, and you are manifesting it. Energy is what moves form. So if we want it to be created, we must first feel it as if it is, and that will create it to be. We've been doing
it.
We create what we don't want. This is a thought.
Think about
the way we create things negatively. Let's say, now y'all listen because you know this is real. Let's say your husband comes home late from work and you're upset and you're thinking, oh, he probably was with some woman. So inside your mind, you're getting angry, which produces that feeling of anger in your body. Your temperature's rising. So he walks in the door, and what do? You don't give him a big hug and a kiss and say, oh, I'm glad to see you. You start fussing. Where you been? I had this dinner ready, and now it's cold, and who were you hanging out there with? You didn't think about me. Well, he might have been coming in the door with loving thoughts for you, but what did you create? Now you created a conflict. So he's going to holler back at you. Next thing you know, you're fighting. You created that first with your thought. So that's the negative way we create all the time. So we can use that energy of mind to positively create. We could have been thinking, oh, he was working hard because he wants to help our family and he wants to buy me things that I love and he cares so much for me. Oh, and so when he gets in the door, oh, you greet him with a big hug and a kiss. Oh, I'm just so happy to see you. Oh, you're such a wonderful man. Oh, and his response would be totally, well, hey, you know, when he loves you, you know, when he loves you, you are really happy. So you created that loving response with your own thoughts, your own mind. You created it.
Your own story. That's your story, but it's not true. Yeah.
All
those stories that we live in our head. These are these stories. Yeah. You're right, Naima.
The story we tell ourselves, it creates a feeling in our body, it creates a response, and that creates the reality. So what reality do we want to experience? Let's think the thought. Create the feeling, and that energy of that feeling creates the reality.
We are the thinkers
who think
the thoughts make the things. We are the thinkers who think the thoughts that make the things. be careful what you think.
Absolutely. Be careful
what you think. Oh, wow.
But we have conscious creator. We consciously create what we desire. Consciously.
And that means every day we get up. Every day we get up, we have to face a new day and make that a point of what kind of day am I going to create for myself. Remind ourselves that we are the maker of our day. So what are we going to thought? How are we going to work with our thoughts, life? Okay,
yes.
Because our thought life brings that life into reality. Sometimes we say, "Oh, wow, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed." Oh, really? I got a bad hair day. These things that we take upon so lightly have power in them,
yes.
And they do generate feelings. And they do manifest, and when you send something out, you better know that it's got to land someplace to agree
mm-hmm.
with what you have. And when that agreement happens, that's where the conflict occurs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, I didn't even say anything to her. I didn't say anything to him, and I didn't do anything. I just don't understand it. But when you know and you understand that power that you're putting out there, it
right.
always has a receiver. And
that's
when it comes
right.
in your face, now, yeah, and I said, mm-mm, I know where that came from. You know what I'm saying? So taking ownership of your power, taking ownership even of bringing something into your space that you do not care about, it. You feel it's bringing
right.
some bitterness to something that's not comfortable for you. Take ownership of it. Acknowledge it. I was told acknowledge it and then say thank you for showing up. But, you know, and then evict it. But I dismiss you. I dismiss you.
That's right.
I dismiss
that's
you. I no longer need you. I don't need
spoken. Right. That is right. So you are affecting things even with the energy of your thought, even if you don't speak it. So like you said, be conscious of your thoughts. Because that is creating, even if you do not speak them. So make sure they are positive thoughts, because that's creating the energy in your body, in the cells in your body, and you're projecting that energy out, and other people are feeling it and responding to it.
Responding to it, that's right. In the community, I tell you, that's why I just think we really got something going on here today, and that's going to have to be repeated. And we don't have but two more minutes, and so I want to thank you, Naima, our CEO here, the Female Solution, for being on board, handling the ship, and stream yachting for us. And thank you, Minister Rosemary. Bookstein, do you have any final words that you want to send to our listeners? Hello?
Check your mute. Yeah, check your mute.
Are you on mute?
I'm mute. I'm sorry. I'm just talking away. And I am alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic. Okay? Just know that we are alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic. And we thank God for the energy that's flowing through us even as I speak. And thank you so much for allowing me to be on this program. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed you too. All righty. Well, thank you. We'll be back again on the 2nd December. Thank you for the Female Solution.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And ever so great. Okay. End the episode.